Ora Kotu, welcome to another exciting episode of Key Cards, 260th episode of this amazing series. And yeah, it's not Richard Green, but Annie Benzonelli back for the first episode of 2018, while our Richard is enjoying the sun or the rain out there somewhere in New Zealand. Well, if you follow him on Facebook, you know where he is. But he's out there. And we have a full studio for the first show in 2018. But first of all, I introduce you to my co-host. Oh, no, my host. We are on the same level. Georgia. Hello, Georgia.
Kia ora. This is so exciting. I really miss coming in. Yeah, and we've had a really good show for the first show.
You had 2 weeks break. We never did a 2 weeks break in my time. Yeah. We always went to air.
My demands are heavy. No, I don't. I just.
Oh, you're right. You know. You know. Well, your paycheck is bigger than mine for sure.
What? Zero.
1,000% more.
Sometimes I make myself a cup of tea. Were you paying to?
Yeah, zero. Yeah. But you get 1,000% more than me, right? Zero. No, doesn't make any sense. We have a full studio tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. And first of all, back for, I think he's the most frequent...
Frequent flyer?
Not host, but
just can't
guest,
get enough of the place.
Guest of Key Cards. It was here really, really early in one of the first 5 episodes of Key Cards. And you've heard his voice, Emmett Skelton. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you for coming. And then help me out. And then, Joe, because we... Yeah. Both brought in someone, and yeah. I brought in Emmett, yeah. And you brought in...
We did a really good job. Yeah. We talked a couple of days ago, because we both thought that we were hosting, and then we realized we can't both sit in the same chair. Well, no. Actually, we could have.
Well, we could.
But we were like, and also we have no guests.
Yeah.
Richard just left us to it.
Yes.
So we were like, first pick, who are we going to pick? And I was like, you know who I really want? Cricket Farm. So I messaged Hayley, and she messaged me back straight away, and then you messaged me back almost straight away saying you had Emma, and we were like, amazing, awesome show, meant to be, straight
Ba-ching.
Away. So I actually introduced them halfway through that weird story sentence. So we've got Hayley and Joel from Cricket Farm.
Kia ora.
Hello.
Welcome. So tonight we're going to listen to music from Cricket Farm because they have released... an album, right?
That's correct.
Just released, like, just, fresh from the press.
Yeah, on the 22nd of last year. That still feels so weird.
22nd of December of 2017, just before Christmas.
Is it a Christmas album?
I had a lot of people telling me that they played it. It was they had a Cricket Farm Christmas, and they were playing it during toasting while we were playing in the background, which is just makes me go.
That's fantastic, and it's an album with 12 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of work behind there.
Yeah, we've probably got enough for another album now. We're pumping them out pretty fast, but that was quite carefully picked. Those 12 just fit, and they all fit nicely together. We think
that's fantastic. And then with Emmett, we're gonna talk anything, whatever, right?
Anything.
You are the filler.
There's always shit going on.
Well, because I think we never really talk about Awkward Love 3. Because I think Richard would say, yeah, you're going to come over, but he never...
Oh, yeah.
Did he ever invite you?
No, but it's the same as him always inviting me over for dinner. I still haven't done it, and it's been about 2 years, so it's about time.
Well, so here I am. I came back, and I say, okay, let's talk Awkward Love 3, because it's doing really well, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Well, I think last time you were in any, you were talking about how... you were working on it. You had been doing some editing.
Yes.
And you were saying how excited you were.
Yeah.
You were saying that the episodes were a bit longer.
You are now revealing, you know, the connection here, the 2 degrees of separation.
Yeah, but that's what it's like in the Auckland arts community. Everybody knows everybody. But I got a notification on YouTube the other day that has it just come out?
It's come, season 3 came out on TVNZ On Demand in September. And then about
really
a month
behind.
Later, it was in on YouTube internationally.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's funny with YouTube. Like, you need to geo-block it in order to honour our contract with TVNZ. But everything takes, like, 5 times as long as it should. So you ask them permission to do one thing, And they'd be like, oh, yeah, cool, we'll do that when Greg gets back to the office, or whatever the hell it is, you know.
So that might be why I got the notification.
All slow.
It was still free to wear, but now it's not anymore. If you go on YouTube in New Zealand, you're going to see those.
Makes us feel special, though.
Yeah. Or maybe you have something illegal going on at your home.
No.
But you can watch everything in the world, maybe.
What are you, a spy? What is going on here? And he's staring her down right now.
Yeah, so the response has been really good.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And we are already looking towards the season 4 as well. We got enough material, I guess, similar to having enough for a second album. We've got so many stories that we want to explore and also need to explore because they're unresolved. So
it kind of ends on a cliffhanger. It's kind of cliffhanger, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
This is my plan for tomorrow now, because the episodes are longer now, aren't they?
Yeah, so after getting funding, which helps, we're like, oh, okay, cool, let's keep everything the same length. And then our writer just got a little bit ambitious, and obviously Eni is our editor, and we ended up taking the material to Eni and the other end, and they came out closer to 20 minutes than they did to 15, which in terms of editing hours is a lot of time.
Yeah, it went from 20 days of editing to 63. That's what 2-3 extra pages of script per episode do to editing.
Yeah, it was.
But Emmett was there too, so. Yeah.
But they're beautiful to watch. Because I've seen the first two seasons.
Yeah.
I watched them all in one go, actually.
Yes,
they're
thank
so
you.
It's so addictive. Mm. Do you edit them as well?
Yeah, with Emmett.
Yeah.
We edit them. Well, I'm the editor, he's the director, but it's a collaboration.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and he's been in since Ground Zero.
Yes. And so, you know, when you come in the editing room, it gets kind of hot sometimes, because he has, of course, his vision of telling the story, and then I come in kind of because I'm not on set, I'm not too involved in the production itself. Yeah. I come in with, you know, a bit different mind, and then we have certain points where we have different ideas how we want to tell the story after it's been shot, because, you know, there is decision. But that's a thing, is why it's such a great, because I've been lucky that I found him, and I think we have a connection that really works.
Totally.
And sometimes really gets kind of heated up, and it's like, Andy, do what I say, and then, okay, and then, you know, and then I do my version, and then you know, sometimes he wins, sometimes I win. The part that goes on the final version.
And the thing I have to remember is that I was there when it was shot, I was there when it was written, I was there when it was rehearsed. So I know the story inside out, and then Eni will, you know, we'll be editing something and I want it really, really fast, and Eni will be like, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. So immediately there you've got an outside eye who's the editor just making sure that the sense is made.
Yeah.
Otherwise there's no point even cutting a scene together if the sense isn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we work well. We do.
It's a great journey. It's always been a great journey. And so look forward for season 4.
Mm-hmm.
That is so exciting.
I'm not going to edit it, probably not.
Wait, what? You brought me in here to tell me that?
Oh, sorry. Ooh, that was like, you know, news on air.
Da-da.
Like, da-da-da.
But season 3, we still achieved what we set out to do, which was represent women as accurately and honestly as possible, which doesn't often happen on mainstream TV. So we got support from the government, you know, from NZ On Air, to tell these stories more in-depthly than we had before. And it looks like season 4 will do the same thing, as long as it all works out.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. We make it work. How's I guess writing a song is the same kind of journey as writing a script, or
very much so. I work in film as an art director, so I all know what you're going through, and I've done a bit of editing myself, so I know that. Especially with, like, there are three versions of the story, which is you know, the script, the what you shoot, and then the editor's got his own idea of what's going on. Yeah, exactly. The only difference is, I guess, you're so, it comes from a, like, the songs are, well, our music is a real representation of our hearts, of what's going on inside of us. They're sort of like a collection of observations about the world and about ourselves. So they're very intimate, although we, you know, shrug it off like they're not. Nah, it's not really, it's not about anything. And while we're just quietly crying while we sing them. Yeah, but I think that with film, I suppose you're a little bit more removed. You go on the journey as you're writing it, but when you have so many other people involved, you have to allow that there'll be a million different interpretations, and every person that's coming on the scene will change your idea or mm-hmm. your story.
How do you... I watched a video, a really cool video on Facebook or YouTube about how Ed Sheeran wrote Shape of You.
Oh, I saw that video.
Did you see it? Wasn't it cool?
Yeah.
That they wrote it like in an hour 30, really quickly. And but the interesting part was the process going into how they started with the bass and then they started adding stuff and then they put the lyrics on, but it was maybe Shape of You because they didn't know what to put in. Do you go to a similar process?
Writing a song in an hour is definitely not unusual. Sometimes you'll be doing something and then it'll just ejaculate out of you onto the page, and sometimes you'll be sitting there you know, like strumming away, and then you'll just be like, and maybe noises will come first, and then sort of all of a sudden words will start forming, and then you'll be like, oh, that's something mildly smart. Or you'll be with somebody and they've just said something and you're like, what did you just say? Say that again. And then it never happens the same way twice, but you know, they're very much like that. You know, someone will come with that. I've seen the same video and he starts with that, you know, Congo line. Yeah. Well, that was very much the buzz at the time, was that Latin beat of dun 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 dun. And I think Bieber had something come out just similar to that, and I was like, everyone's going to get on this buzz. And sure enough, it jumped straight in there, and so you knew it was going to be a hit as soon as you heard it. But yeah, the songwriting process is just like that sometimes, and it just bursts out of you, or you could stress over a song for years and years and years. I haven't ever done that, though. I usually let it go pretty quick. If it doesn't all come at once, I just let it go, just put it away.
As a group, do you guys ever sit down and go, oh, now we're going to write a song, or do you just kind of wait for them to come organically?
Well, Joel's never really involved in the songwriting process lyrically. He'll come on later once Sims and I have written a song. There's one song on the album which is called Nod and Smile, which is exactly 50-50 written. For the first verse and chorus is written, or pre-chorus is written by me, and then the second verse and pre-chorus is written by Sims. And I don't think I ever go over to his house being like, we're going to write a song now. It just sort of, he might say something, or I've just heard him say something, or somebody else, and we're all like, what did you just say? And then that'll happen. Like, I played a song to a friend just a second ago, and the first line is, we don't need wine to have a good time. And I just said it, and she was like, what did you just say? And then it was the beginning of the song, and so we don't need wine, we don't need cocaine to stimulate our brain, and then we just keep going, all the things we don't need. French fries, it's just a pack of lies, you know. I don't need policeman to put me at ease, man. And so on and so forth. But yeah. So.
That sounds so good. I can't wait to... That's going to be like, when I first heard Bending Spoons, it was in my head for like months and months, and I feel like now I'm going to have that going through my head, because that's so my buzz as well. I'm like constantly saying to people, like, I just don't get people who can't, you know, have a nice time without having a drink.
Yeah,
so that's gonna stick in my brain. That's so good. I can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah, that's on my phone. I won't play. It's got a lot of swear words in it, so I'm not sure. Are we allowed to? Is that okay?
Bending Spoons has a lot of swear words.
No, we do have some swear words in there. We say,
we can do the disclaimer. Song. Yeah, we can do the disclaimer.
I was playing this album the other day. And my nana was saying how she thinks it's really cool.
Oh.
Sweet. Perfect. Well, we nana friendly people.
Oh, it's like, it's just so, like, it's just so sweet. It's like honey. It's just, I love it. I love
nice.
It.
Like,
it's legit.
Well, because we have talked so much about it, let's get the first track out there. So, shall we go with Bending Spoons?
Yeah, do it.
Which is the first track of the album.
Yeah, and the title track.
And the title track, yes.
It's a straight up banger.
Ah, yeah, that's right.
Thanks, George.
If you really want after the show, to go and support Cricket Farm, they have a beautiful site on Bandcamp. So it's cricketfarm.bandcamp.com.
Mm-hmm.
And this is on the on the album you have there, right? You have a couple on there.
Yeah, there's the album and a couple of singles there too that aren't on the album.
Fantastic. And so go and support New Zealand music because it's great. So I'll try. It's been a while, so hopefully I don't like, what is it called? The Queen of the Drag Queens. You know?
RuPaul.
Yeah. Don't F it up.
I
hope I don't F it up. Now that we go to RT 9:30, I cannot really swear that much because usually AO is after.
Did you see, though, what happened to Courtney Act on Big Brother?
No, what happened?
Courtney Act, the drag queen from Drag Race. Now, this is so sad, and I can't stop thinking about it. Didn't you know I see it?
No.
Was entering to Celebrity Big Brother yesterday, and then tripped on her skirt, and it got ripped off, and everybody got, like, a full face of, like, her tuck. And I know. But I've been seeing photos of it everywhere. So I'm thinking, if nudity is kind of okay everywhere, then maybe the occasional swear word from any personality before 9:30 is okay.
No, after 8:30, sure, it's okay. But let's go back to that topic. Let's keep it warm because there is something going on, you know, with the boobs out there at
that's so silly.
We need to talk about it. But let's go to Bending Spoons and see if I can not F it up. Let's see if it plays. Ah, it's playing.
It's playing.
I spend my time bending spoons at night, pretending nothing's wrong when nothing's right. I spend my time bending spoons at night. Don't think about my worries. Don't worry about my life. I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't mind me losing my mind. But if I could only spend the night bending time on spoons, I'd realign my life with you. I spend my time singing tunes I write, spreading poison all the fool who thinks she's right. I sit and sing to the moon all night, and I wonder about the sign that's out of sight. I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't mind me losing my mind. But if I could only spend the night bending time on spoons, I'd realign my life with you. I'd realign my life with you. I need distractions in my life once or twice a night, it seems. There's nothing easy about being a human being. I think too much, but think I haven't seen a thing. There hasn't been a single thought that amounts to anything at all. I'm fine, don't mind me losing my mind. But if I could only spend the night bending time now, I'd realign my life with you. But if I could only spend the night bending time now, I'd realign my life with you. I'd realign my life with you.
Banger. Straight up banger.
That was great. Did I do a good job?
of
cutting the song.
You did a great job.
That was so smooth.
Play beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to be careful here
the
because...
The song is beautiful. I love that.
It's vague. Yeah, it's a good song.
Oh, and you just did a really nice dance, but now I can see it.
Well,
yeah.
It's radio, that's why I do it.
It was good. If it was TV, I wouldn't do it. Not only were your hands dancing, but your fingers were individually dancing.
Nice. I want you to picture all of us doing interpretive dance to illustrate what we're saying at the same time. Mm. While we're
That could be a good concept for a show, interpretive dance.
On radio.
Facebook Live right there.
Yeah.
On the radio wouldn't be. So I want to really say again, go and support. This album is like $10. The first song is already... more than $10. It's
totally.
A great song. So go there and or more, of course. You can, if you really super like it, you give them $50, $100. Well, why not? You know, if you won the lotto and you want the 15 millions, you can give them, you know, half a million so they can do many albums, you know. For
at your gigs, you have CDs, don't you?
Yeah, we do have CDs. They're a little bit more because of the physical copy.
And the shipping.
And the shipping? Oh, yeah.
Oh, you just get them at the gig.
We'd love to encourage people to come to a gig and they can get a CD and a limited edition hug.
How do we find out about your gigs?
Bookface.
Facebook.
The old events. We have an actual website, but I find that, you know, the Facebook has totally taken over Google in terms of searching for things.
Taken over everybody.
So just go and look at the old Facebook. We've got about 9... We're on tour right now. I know we're in Auckland right now, but we are on tour. And we've got 9 shows in the tour supporting the album. What is the next?
Yeah,
is in the Coromandel Summerfest.
Nice.
And then the Eccentric Cafe. The Coromandel Summerfest is this Saturday, and on Sunday is the Eccentric Cafe in Whitianga. Is that right, Joel?
Yeah, in Whitianga.
That's fantastic. Let's go back to the boobs.
Yeah.
I've got a strong opinion on this.
Actually,
but you probably go to festivals like Rhythm Vines.
No.
No?
Oh, I would never, ever.
You No?
My boyfriend asked me if I wanted to go to Northern Bass with him, and I was like, bass is literally in the title of that. No. So I stayed at home with my
So you would never go and free the boobs?
Free the nipples.
It's not all you do there.
Free the nipples, sorry. I just confused the part.
Like, Splore and Womad are more my vibe, so I'd say free the boob is even more my vibe.
Right? It's just ridiculous. I have boobs. So I should, you know, why
and
everybody
they
should.
They offend me more than women's boobs because you don't use yours for anything.
Yeah, exactly. They're just
mine
useless.
Mine actually do something.
Yeah, they're just there to...
Hey, if you... We just wish you would take your shirt off, though, because it would give us an excuse to grab at them and touch your bum.
This is not called the deepest dreams of Georgia. This is key cards. So, well, we can talk about it. That sound is just so wrong.
I hope Richard's not listening. He's just going to hit him
in his hands. Like, Richard is
like,
again.
Richard is like running back and trying to take over the show again, probably. He's like, no! You know, slow motion running.
I'm going to drop some F-bombs in a minute and then we'll just totally be screwed.
Make him run faster.
In 5 minutes we can drop it. If it's in context, it's fine. That's the broadcasting standard.
8:30
is the 5 minutes.
Got 6 minutes till I can say some swear words.
It's in the soft AO because the first hour is still kind of soft. Okay. And then 9:30 you can go for it.
You can say that.
Yeah, but we are off air at 9:30 now.
That's what's great about doing all good love on the internet is you can say whatever you want,
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had a couple of... thingy
balls.
Yeah. Yep.
So tell us more about boobs, because you wanted to talk about that, or you?
No, I was just saying that it's ridiculous that, you know, why women cannot be shirtless and men can.
I had that conversation with.
I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous.
It's
ridiculous as people saying, "Oh, a woman is shirtless. I can go and touch her." What the hell?
Yeah, and it's also not illegal to be nude in public, I believe.
Mm.
Richard told me that before Christmas.
Why were you talking about that with Richard?
Oh, you know, we talk about many, many things when we hang out.
I think it is, though, to be naked. But
it depends. It's private property versus public property.
Oh.
And I don't know where the line is exactly in terms of what level of nudity.
Yeah.
But what she was doing, I understand, was legal.
Yeah.
As well, which isn't the problem anyway, but for someone to be like, oh, that person shouldn't be doing that anyway, regardless of any boob touching, I think people need to sort of, educate themselves on what is and isn't okay to do as a woman, but also as a man. I think that
it's,
that mentality that those dudes, it's just... that's behaving like possession.
The thing that really made me angry was a comment on somebody commented. There was an article of, I think, the New Zealand Herald about it, and somebody commented, "Well, these girls are just looking for problems or for," and I'm like, "Shut up!"
Matt, it's
like
hot. Who gives a
shit? Yeah, it's like
if you don't want to do it, then don't do it, but don't judge other people.
No. I really don't understand.
The great thing here is that you two, out of the people who are in the room, are the most outraged about it.
Mm.
And to George, it's sort of just like, it's just boring and normal. Mm-hmm. It's just like, But if the more you two get upset, the much better things will become.
Yeah.
Because you'll become upset and you'll be around other men. And when women complain about these things, men often hear, but if you were to say, oi, don't do that.
Totally.
It would completely change the mentality of an entire group of people. So it's wonderful to hear men getting upset.
It's like, I love when, when mothers are allowed to breastfeed their child, because it's the most natural thing. And I really cannot stand people, what are you doing? It's like, the most beautiful is a baby. It's the beginning of life. So I don't understand people that get outraged.
But the issue around that is obviously where you've come from and, your upbringing and all that kind of shit. But so the shifts in society. I mean, we haven't shifted from when things were so private, when it was a man's world. It ain't a man's world anymore in the amount of, and want for a better word, the uprising of all the fucking awesome shit that is coming. Emma just checked on the clock. Ooh, didn't make it.
Didn't quite.
The thing is, it's not the same as it used to be, and people need to catch up to that. People really need to open their eyes and their ears a hell of a lot more than their mouth, and see what's going on. And I think it'll change for the good if people just do that, even one day in their lives.
Yeah. It's just I am probably a feminist, and because I believe and maybe feminist, I don't know if it's the, I think what confuse people with the word feminist is there is female in it, but it's, I don't think it's the belief that everyone is equal. To me, that's what feminism means for me. And so I was really fighting hard, discussing hard with a girl once that she's an editor and she's paid less than everybody else just because she is a girl. And I said, you need to go and fight, and I'm here to support you to fight your war, because you have the same skill as everybody else. Why should you be paid less than everybody else? It's just ridiculous.
People like to say that it's nothing to do with gender, and I find myself getting like, actually just before Emmett, when you said that, like, it's like possession, I actually felt myself get quite tearful actually, like, hearing, if it's right for me to say, like, a white man actually saying it, because it's like one of my
don't tell them what color I am, it's radio.
It didn't. But like one of my flatmates who's definitely not listening right now, like, he doesn't even talk to me or give me the time of day or anything, and it's like I heard him refer to me today as Dylan's missus rather than Georgia, even though I've been living with them for quite a while now. And it's like, and the thing about it is, like, and we've had issues recently and things that I wanted to talk to him about, and to be honest, I would probably be the most gentle, approachable person in the flat to sit down with him, but he's just not interested because I'm a woman. And I experience that all the time, every day. So then when people say that, oh, it's not about gender, and that, you know, maybe people should stop talking about how men are so privileged and blah, 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 it's like, well, you don't live it and you don't see it because you are the problem, you know? And it's just like, it makes me so upset.
That's one of the reasons we made All Good Love. Was to start putting people on an even playing field, you know, female opportunity as well as specific people that we worked with opportunities, but female voice and female presence in our industry is very, very different, you know, and it's obviously building. Some companies have committed to 50% female directors for 2018, which is amazing.
I think Iceland, they have a law that the board of meetings has to have a quota minimum 40% woman or 40% of men.
You know,
has to, because it's the board of meeting is always an uneven number.
Yes,
so it cannot be 50-50 because by when a vote comes up, it's never, you know. So it needs to be 7-9 people. But they have this law that says it needs to be, you know, same opportunities for everybody. Yeah.
Mm. And it shouldn't have to be that way. But no, it shouldn't have to be. Temporarily in order for us to get there.
Exactly. Yes. And then people will stop seeing you as a bloody someone's missus.
Yeah. Well,
you know, that equality will build.
I was thinking just before when, Emma, when you were talking about, like, us kind of catching up with the times, and I was thinking about this idea of, like, socialization and that, like, in terms of, for instance, like, breastfeeding. Like, the other day I was watching some stupid movie, and which came out really recently, and at one point a woman gets out of her breast and starts breastfeeding, and all the men in the room kind of freak out because they're, like, you know, as if they're, like, aroused or something. And you see it all the time, and it's like we're getting socialized into thinking that that's a sexual thing. Mm-hmm. But it's when we give women opportunities, just like in Awkward Love, to kind of represent actually how it is, then we get socialized in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess about like, yeah, like opening up those conversations and being more honest, even though, yeah, it's going to be a bit controversial and, yeah, people aren't going to buy into it straight away, but it's like reversing that process.
Yeah. See, pornography ain't helping that. Because we don't see a woman breastfeeding a baby, we see a woman with her breast out. That's what's being seen. We don't see someone eating. We see someone naked.
Yeah. What as well, and that's kind of a lot of men sees that like it's okay. So if a woman goes out with you know, kind of really thin clothes where you can see everything, so a woman, that's good. But when a woman is breastfeeding, oh, that's disgusting, and that is like,
I feel like
I don't understand.
I could be wrong here. I'm not up on the breastfeeding debate as much. But isn't it the females that have a bigger problem with females breastfeeding?
Women police women so badly. We're socialized to be to be competitive, and I am on the losing end of that all the time as someone who's not very competitive and someone who's aware of that and refuses just start to using be a part
violence.
Of it.
Violence will change so much of that.
Good idea. I just believe...
Sorry, don't use violence.
Like, and I'm sure that, like, I'm sure that Hayley, like, assuming... Then you have the red button
in front of you.
So, like, so far, and it would be even the same as, like, what I can say, like, of the two of you, like, Annie, who I know, and Emmett, who I've just met, but have heard some things that you've said, is that it's like we've got to raise up other women and we've got to be really aware of that, and we'll just raise up other people, you know, for like, you know, and just not be like negative and buy into like capitalist bullshit. Like, that just like pits us up against each other.
There's a lot of safety in the status quo, and I think that's where a lot of the criticism comes from women towards other women, is that if you've been told your whole life that you can't and you're not capable, then if you ever tried and failed, you can shrug your shoulders and say, well, nobody said I could do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of, like, reasonably, you know, we're told you can, you're completely capable, quite capable, you can do it. And then if you were to fail anyway, that would be awful. And so, you know, the criticism that women have for one another, I think, stems from wanting to stay in this safe place being allowed.
Yeah.
Because if you don't try, then you can't fail.
Like, there's nothing that makes you feel like a bit better about yourself as well as being like, I'm not on the bottom because this person's below me and I can help participate in that. And you just see
it's like people in prison who are terrified of being integrated back into society because they have no idea what they can achieve. Mm. Women who have never been allowed to achieve anything are too afraid to try it because they don't know what they're capable of. Mm. And so women who would, you know, go out breastfeed and break the mold would be, you instantly look inwards within yourself and go, can I do that? And then you have this whole little existential crisis with yourself.
Yeah,
and the latest more of Michael Moore, the latest documentary of Michael Moore, it's about that. It's about he went in different countries. I don't remember the title. Is what can US import from other countries, something like that. And he went to different countries to see the different approach. Like one topic was the prison, imprisonment, and he went to, I think it was Scandinavia, I think, and the prison is not putting people into bars, but helping them to reintegrate into society, because, well, of course there is a criminal that kills and that needs to probably needs a bit more help. Mm. But if it's somebody that steals, that does, you know, things like that, how do we get these people back? And they have amazing results. Like people, when they finish their imprisonment, they don't go back to prison anymore.
Yeah.
There was like, I think 98% of success that people that have been in prison, they don't go back to prison.
Yeah.
Because some people didn't have the chance to learn how to live, how to be in the society, or
they
you know, they didn't have the money or the because, like you say, capitalist is the world, like the world we live in. It's all about money, and if you don't have money, well, you have to figure it out, and sometimes it's really hard to figure it out. So I think that's where, you know, we need to do more. It's get, like, prison shouldn't be a place to make money like it's in America, and like it's, you know, it's competition there.
Yeah.
There's different company fighting. Oh, I want the right to own the prison in this country. I want to. Mm. No, it shouldn't be that the way it should be. Mm. It should be, let's get people a chance to reintegrate.
Well, you see the long-term effects of that as well. I can see why, like, you know, victims of people's crimes might see that as invalidating to their experience. But that's so true, that if you, like, for instance, looking at, like, the drug and alcohol courts that actually deal with people's addictions rather than just putting them in prison, and they've seen that the rates of recidivism from those courts have dropped dramatically, and that these people actually become really active members of society that are often really involved within the recovery community, and they're helping other people like get their lives together and have fulfilling lives and families and jobs and, you know, and actually have careers and stuff. And that's going to have long-term effects, because if people are just told that they're crap and that they're criminals again and again and again their whole lives, and then they go to prison, that's what's going to happen to their kids. That's what's going to happen to their kids. And then people are just going to have really shit lives.
Yeah.
That's my story anyway.
I guess we have been...
I was going to say, I think... that's why, like, equality across the intersectional equality is really important. I think so much crime comes about from inequality, whether it's, like, economic or racial inequality. And
it's designed to be that way.
Yeah.
It's,
if you can't participate in society, it's really hard to...
The system we are in is kind of designed to fail a lot of people, isn't it?
Mm.
But I have a hope that the new generation is seeing it. And let's hope, at least. And I'm working towards that. Even if I can affect three people, you know, around me, it's already three people that I can affect. And if everybody can do the same, probably this change is going to take less time.
Yeah, and provide, like, an alternative story.
Yeah.
You know, something that's different from, you know, what you get when you look at, you know, Kim Kardashian's Instagram account. You know, so even maybe somebody flicking through the radio or someone, you know, listening to music that's a bit different and has, like, a different kind of message, or, like, watching something on YouTube that's got a different message, and that you see, like, women who are telling stories of women from, like, little old New Zealand, like, that's cool, that's different, and that does inspire change, I think.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, we're kind of living in a changing society, so I have faith that we're gonna get better.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's for four men in the room and we're all aware of, you know, like aware that the problems exist, which maybe was not so prevalent in the past.
Just 30 years ago, right? Mm. It was completely different.
We wouldn't have been allowed in the room, would we?
Georgia? Adam doesn't have a microphone. Yeah. He'd be like,
but he's shaking his head. Liberals. Yeah, yeah. Adam is the silent guest. He's not allowed. He's not allowed to talk.
Very in agreement.
Yeah. Well, it's been 2 weeks of holidays, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have you done something?
Oh, I started gardening.
You started gardening.
You didn't even finish your question.
Well,
launched in there.
What can you review about gardening? The type of flowers or the vegetable veggie garden?
It's a big long story. but I have planted some lavender and some basil and some coriander, and it's thriving.
Which one is thriving? All three.
All three. And the coriander's a dream. Very happy. Man.
Yeah, but you choose the really easy ones.
I know I did, but I'm just standing out, and I got the compost ready, which was quite a big journey, quite a big task.
Is it natural compost, like from real poo?
Well, it was, because you would think that when someone said, hey, I'm going to be sorting out the compost and you've been putting your dog's poos in there for months and months, that you'd mention it. But my flatmate didn't think that that was something worth mentioning. So that's been most of my week, digging a big hole and sorting that out. And then Flo, the dog's been prancing around like, yes, there's someone back here with me. And then she's like, I made that myself. This is so great. So that's been really good, because I actually really like her.
Fantastic.
So that's actually been the most, you're looking at me like, thanks for sharing.
What do musicians, when they don't compose songs over Christmas, apart of probably barbecuing and staying with family?
What do musicians do?
Yeah. Do you go to the movies? Well, you're as well an art director,
I'm
right?
I'm not breaking any stereotypes of being the poor musician, and I cannot afford to go to the films, to the cinema. So I sit around and play piano and all the instruments that I own.
What instrument do you own?
I have a collection I'm very proud of. I've got a little melodica and a banjolele guitar, several ukuleles. I've got a loop pedal, so I can just keep layering them and create loops and loops and loops to drive my mind crazy. What about you, Joel?
I have lots of guitars and lots of other instruments that I can't play properly. But I have a banjo and a mandolin. I just got hold of an accordion, and I guess the most exciting thing recently is an uncle of a friend gave me a concert zither, which is it's like a instrument of German origin. You play it face up on a table, and it has 31 strings.
It's like the washbread.
Yeah, sort
the
of
washbread.
Yeah. I'm doing miming it, but I'm aware that no one can actually see it. But
it looks like he's just playing a piano.
Yeah, it's like a piano,
31 strings and no keys.
Yeah, it's pretty much that's
small
pretty much
keyboard.
It,
so. Are you self teaching to play it?
Yeah, I don't think there's another option over here. Anyway, I haven't seen one.
No YouTube videos, tutorials.
Some YouTube videos.
Ask every German.
But yeah,
you may come across.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, because in Germany, everybody's playing it.
Oh, it's everyone, right?
It's as common as a guitar.
When you go there, you go into everybody. Oh, common. What is it called there?
It's a concert zither. And actually, I did ask one of my mates from Germany, and he said, oh, yeah, I saw someone playing one of those with the big band once. So, I don't know how that works.
Do you have that person's number? And will that, once you have mastered it, feature on the next album?
We haven't broached that yet. I guess I'll make sure
this is the moment now.
Play it properly before
there's a song that I think that Joel hopes to start playing that on. The song's is it Made Up Lovers? But our bandmate Joel fell in love with a German lady when he was on tour with his other band, and he wrote he wrote some German words to the first part of that song, and the first line is Ich bin ein Einhorn, which is I am a unicorn, and the direct translation is, I am a unicorn and I live inside your dreams where everything is horny because unicorn. And we hope to put the zither there and it'll all be
it has
very,
to. German.
Yeah.
It'll be a,
yeah, so have a goal.
Disrespectful.
She's still in love with him. Yeah. She's actually in New Zealand right now with him. So
there's two Joels in the
No, Sims, our other bandmate. That's Sims, that's Joel funny. Over there.
They met this
you said in the band Joel. I was
yeah, you called
Joel.
Sims Joel.
Oh, did I?
Oh,
yeah.
That's it. That's where I got
they
confused.
They say you do that because, like, if you call your children your pets' names, it's because when you compartmentalize names in your brain, they all go into a box. Like, there's a work box, and there's a family box, and a band box, and so you only muddle up the names that are in that box.
Yeah.
So I've only got two people in my band. I'm going to say Joel when I mean Sims. Say Sims when I mean Joel.
I got called my brother's names most of my life. Yeah. I've got three brothers.
Mm. And that's a big problem when your mum starts doing that with your name and the cat. Because that means that she's making the cat. Yeah, she's putting the cat in the family box, and then that's two.
Oh, I wasn't that low.
Oh. That's interesting. Well, no, my mum got pretty creative with names, so it's
yeah, what's
really
your name, Annie?
My name is Annie.
Oh.
My brother is Axel, which for the region I'm coming from, it's pretty singular. It's not very very popular. So, yeah.
How do you spell Axel?
Axel? A-X-E-L.
Okay.
I've never met anybody else called Annie.
No, I'm unique. No, there is a handbag.
How do you spell that?
Have you met anyone else called Annie?
No. I Googled it. I found a couple of people. But I found a handbag.
And it's spelled E-N-N-Y.
Yes.
Is that right, Annie?
Yes. No, it's not right. My name is spelled on the passport differently, but I won't tell how it's spelled.
Just say it. It's pretty clear I'm fishing for something here.
No, because then people start calling me differently. And I have somebody that when is grumpy with me and it calls me, instead of Annie, calls me differently in my real...
You can't leave it there. You have to tell us what this other name is.
Tune in next week.
Let's play a song.
His real name.
Let's play a different song.
Yeah, please do. I love the first one.
So, shall we go with George's request? Likes where...
Like we're crazy. Are you guys happy with that request?
Absolutely, go for it. Whatever you guys like.
Can we
I
skip
like to know people's favourites.
Can we skip songs? Or there is an order how you put the song to Stella?
No, you should be able to just click play.
No, no, but I mean the order of the songs. Do they have an order?
The album is curated totally like an art show.
Yeah, okay.
You don't just put that piece over there. What are you thinking? Just stop.
I don't know. I'm just
break
asking.
Some stuff. But yeah, no, if you're just playing your faves, just play whatever your faves are.
So like we're crazy. Well, like us, right?
Yeah.
We're crazy.
Oh, it's quite telling.
Here's another song from the latest album, Bending Spoons by Cricket Farm.
Say we're sorry, baby. chill in the air. You neither know nor care. A shiver runs over my skin when I sense the thing inside you awaken.
We were talking about last names here.
I've got a good last name.
I have a great last name.
Actually, everybody here has good last names.
Yeah. Somebody with skills.
Thank you. Tons of it. I'll take that.
I have a question, though, for you, Ian.
Yeah.
When you come in, you always do some TV review. Are you going to do that? Because I want to know what you've been watching.
I watch some great, great stuff. Over the holiday.
There's some good stuff right
there. There is some really good stuff. And one was something that Emma told me to give it a go. Because I watched only one episode and I thought, no. And usually give a show 3 episodes before I quit. But there is so much going on at the moment that it's really hard to give a show 3 episodes because there is so many stuff to watch. Mm-hmm. And so, but Emin really say you need to watch this show on Netflix, which it's called Dark. It's a German show.
I've heard of that.
It's a German show. It's really hard to explain without spoiling anything.
Wait, but you do like it?
I love it.
Okay.
It changed after. Well, the thing is, I started watching it with my partner, and we were watching it in. It's a German show, and we were watching it, sadly, dubbed in English. And when you watch a show dubbed in English, it's different than watching a show dubbed in, like, Italian or German, because there is a culture of dubbing over there. And so they would hire actors to do dubbing. So the dubbing kind of works, in a way, till you get used to the English of real voices, and then it doesn't work anymore.
But as a filmmaker ourselves...
Yeah.
I think it's you lose so much of the essence when you have someone new trying to capture that same thing.
I don't mind subtitles at all.
And the problem, the problem of dubbing in English is the dubbist. Is it a job? Dubbist? They don't put any expression in it. They just said, "And how are you tonight?" It's like a robot. So
you could do it.
I could do it really easily.
I feel like you're going to do that to awkward life.
As soon as I quit the English then, and I start watching it in German, and why not? I can understand German, so
good idea.
I don't need subtitle for German, and so I was really good. So it's a story. There is a kidnapping of a child, and then it gets very, very complicated. So it's not a show to watch while you watch on your Facebook on your phone. I like to. There is a lot of show that I like to multitask.
Yeah,
this show you have to pay a lot of attention. So put down your phone, watch it, because there is a character. It's been played maybe by 2 actors. It's the same character, but it's played by 2 actors. So if you start losing that, you understand what I mean, right? If you start losing that connection, then you start getting really confusing who is who and what is what. So pay attention. And if you need some help, you just Google the show, and there is like a little chart that shows you who character is who, just as a visual help, which I
need a chart to watch this show.
It's just quickly because if you have a break, I had a break in between, I couldn't not do that break, and so when I went back I kind of mixed up two character, and I was getting kind of confused. Still very intriguing, but it doesn't make sense. So I went there and I saw it's like a tree, a family tree, mm-hmm. and then I figured, now it makes sense.
It's helpful having some help.
Oh, yeah. What the show kind of starts out at is a darker version of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
But in
much better.
Rural, almost, Germany. But what they do is, and the reason you need this chart is they introduce so many people.
Mm.
And it is absolutely confusing at times, but so rewarding when those choices are justified. But it also has, on the tail end of any promoting it, it has an incredible soundscape and soundtrack to it. One episode, out of nowhere, they start using voices as the music.
Yeah.
Just looped voices, and it's absolutely mind-blowing and confusing.
Yeah.
So if you can watch it with headphones in, if you can watch it with a great sound system, it'll be like watching Dunkirk at the movies. Yeah. It's really beautiful.
It's when I started watching, I watched on the big TV, and then I moved and I started watching on my iPad, and I put the headphones on, and suddenly this sound design was just so good. You could hear even more. Mm-hmm. I have a good sound system. It's not the greatest, but when it's in your head, it messes up with you even more. Yeah. And the show is like,
and a thriller goes through the roof when it's,
and it's 10 episodes. It's been confirmed for season 2, so a second season is going to come out because it ends on a cliffhanger. Thank you. So it's rewarding now to watch it because there is a continuation of the story. Even though the story ended it ended on a cliffhanger. Like, what the
hell? Just blew the whole thing open.
Yes. I think they kind of wanted to blow, because I think when they were in production, then suddenly Netflix got interested. So, let's open it up, because if Netflix comes on board, maybe we get some more money to do a second season.
I think what's fantastic about that stuff at the moment is that we're seeing a lot of international shows that are just blowing American shows out of the water in some senses. The Bridge, for example, which has been around for a while, to me set the precedent. And then I look through all the other international shows, and I have great conversations with any, and the internationals have been doing it for years, just really making such strong story first in their content.
Yeah.
Whereas, you pick up a lot of stuff on Netflix and it's a cool idea, and then the rest kind of falls apart.
I think slowly America is kind of understanding that the audience is not stupid anymore, and they have to reduce the number of episodes, because the more episodes you have, the more watered down your story gets. And they start doing short seasons, like 10, 12 episodes instead of 24. There is things that you can have as well. 50 episodes doesn't really matter if it's a game show or stuff like that. But some stories, they don't need 22 episodes to get told. 11 episodes are enough. And you want to move. Like, one of the show I watched was with Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman.
Big Little Lies.
Yeah. That is only 8 episodes, and it moves on so well.
And it's Reese Witherspoon's baby.
Yeah.
Which is so great.
Yeah. That's
her company made that.
Yeah. So another show, I think that one is on Neon here. It's on Neon, so you can catch it up there. There is good television. And the good thing in our society, we can choose to watch good television. So don't get sucked in the linear TV. Move and look around. And like, you have an holiday, you don't have to be, subscribed to these big things for all the whole year. Mm. You can only subscribe. Oh, I have a couple of days off. I'm going to just go and pay Netflix. And it's $14.99, and you can watch as much as you want and binge watch it. It's like, well, a bit more now than a ticket for the movies, because you can go to the movies for $10.50.
$8.50
at West City if you like a little bit.
Wait, whoa.
Oh, now we opened.
$8.50 for the movies?
Like, yes.
Where is
West
this?
City, they have every day, everyone pays 8:50.
Really?
Is it overrun on that day?
No, it's every day. It's always. I go, usually I go, I work from home most of the time. And then sometimes I'm just, I'm going to go to the movies. And so I drive over there. It's 5 minutes from my home. And I go watch like the 1 o'clock screening. And then I have like a joke because there is always this, there is always really young people at the counter, and so I go there and the movie is empty, and then I'm like, I go there and I know it, but I want to go and see this movie, I want to sit in the middle, backish, do you think you can find one? And then I look, the movie is empty. Oh really? Oh, I'm so lucky. And most of the time I'm alone in the movie.
Yeah, it sounds so nice.
Which is really great.
If you're speaking to the owner of the movies, they'd be crying behind the counter. Yeah. While you make your little jokes in
it's event though, because they compensate each other.
Yeah,
but the good thing is you have an event card, right? You have an event card, and so every 6th movie then you go one free.
What?
But I don't use it there. I use the 6th movie when I go to the more expensive ones. Where you pay $18.50. So it makes fun, right? If not, it's like, because you get the same amount of points. Even though it's only $8.50, you get the same amount of
points.
And then
you go to the gold class and spread out over 2 seats.
Yeah. But if you want to go and have a romantic things, there is a gold class at Reading Cinemas, which is $15. Yep.
It's real good.
Yeah,
$15. I always get cold in the movies, though, so I don't really
like
going. Yeah,
always have the jumper because the air conditioning.
I wear a hoodie so that I can put the hood up and I still get cold.
And movie-wise, there is, of course, Star Wars out there. I don't know. Ooh. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? The latest Star Wars?
No, have you seen the one with Hugh Jackman?
Yes, I've seen.
The Greatest Showman?
The Greatest Showman? It's a great musical, but if you go to watch the story of this guy, which is based on a biography, I don't remember the name of the
guy. It's the guy that started the circuses. Yeah.
If you go to watch that, then it's not the right movie because it's not a biotopic. It's a musical.
Isn't it a documentary about Hugh Grant?
Hugh Jackman.
Does Zac Efron get his top off is the question.
No, it doesn't get his
top off. I'm very impressed by that film. I'm really...
I'm not going.
Oh, I will go.
great songs.
You won't get his top off.
Yeah, it means they haven't cheapened the whole thing.
it's a great movie musical.
Yeah.
But a lot of plot lines.
We should take Richard as a joke.
Yeah.
Like, not tell him. Like, I'm Richard, sure come knows. Out for dinner with us.
Star Wars, which has polarized the fans, so you have 50 find it a great movie, 50% find it crap.
I think it's really long.
It's the longest Star Wars movie ever made.
How long is it?
2 hours 30-something-odd minutes. Directed by the director of Looper.
That's a great movie.
And it's a great movie. And I think The Last Jedi is a great movie too. I enjoyed it. On the first screening, I loved it. The second thing was, I think the third screening, when I watched it at home, I wouldn't enjoy as much. But I was on the edge of my chair all the time, and I liked how they treated Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, because she's CGI, isn't she?
No, not in this one. She did still manage to... She was still alive when they shot it.
So is this the latest one? It's in the cinemas now?
Yeah, it's in the cinema now. They didn't change the script because she passed away. I'm just saying that. So, good luck, J.J. Abrams, for the next one.
Oh, he'll figure it out.
Yeah, he'll figure it out. But they are not allowed, I think, to CGI her. The family hasn't given the consent to... They have to figure something out, which the easiest way is the scroll. Star Wars, they have the scroll at the beginning. Princess Leia passed away in a bad accident or something like that.
In the Ewok fight.
In an Ewok fight or Pug ate her. There is a scene that's really cute. There is Chewbacca eating... They have created this new creature... So, spoiler alert, pugs. And
Joel's really frowning. He doesn't know what you're going to say.
And he's eating, he's cooking them on the fire. And these are the new...
You're saying pug, right? Like pug. The dog?
Yeah, pug. I think pug. Pig. Yeah, pug.
What?
pugs.
Like a
pug. No. Yeah, I'm just saying because we're in Star Wars universe.
Yeah, but it's Chewbacca, an animal.
But it's
you're
like
talking about Chewbacca eating a dog.
No, it's not a dog.
You're saying that it's really cute.
Is it pugs? Have you watched Star Wars, Adam?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Oh,
damn.
Don't put yet at the end of that. You're not going to watch it, Adam.
Oh,
sorry.
He's Star Wars. He's hoping to see it tomorrow for people.
I have to Google it because
it's like a bird dog.
Yeah, it's like a. Have you seen it?
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Porg.
Porgs. Oh, thank you, Porgs.
That's all right. I was picturing a dog getting eaten and I wasn't really impressed.
And when. Have you seen the movie then?
I have, yeah.
So when he eats it there, it looks like a chicken, right? And then a porg's alive looks at him with this big eye and then he's like, scary them, like, I'm gonna eat you anyway. And then they turn the camera and there is a group of porgs looking at him with those big eyes. And then I think Chewbacca turned vegetarian or vegan in that movie.
That's right. that's the big
thing happening in Star Wars: The Last Jedi is Chewbacca turning vegan.
Hey, yeah. I have a thought.
It's important. It's important. It's a statement.
I have a thought from about 10, 15 minutes ago that be interested to throw into the room and just see what people thought about
it. Yeah, go for it.
So when we were talking about shorter series, right, and not just having the really, really long series like Mad Men or something where it just went on forever and ever and ever and ever, I was thinking about, and I think this is applicable to music as well, you know when you watch something and you can just tell that there's good reasoning behind it? You know, that, like, for instance, I was thinking about the one good American show I can think of that I've seen in the last few years, and that would have been Dear White People, you know, and that the message was so poignant, and you could tell that it wasn't just about, well, for me, it came across like it's not just about making crap loads of money.
Filling a quota of episodes or order.
Because so many people just would not have watched that because it was called Dear White People, you know, but they were aiming it at a particular market, and I just thought that was really cool. And I think that you get that when you listen to music as well. You know, it's like, for instance, even just listening to Bending Spoons, that it feels so, like, authentic and fun. And, you know, it's not, you don't think about how commercial it is because it doesn't seem to come into it at all. You know, and I just...
Well, some people still do stuff because they want to put out their message, right? I guess when you write songs, you want to put out a message that you believe in through your songs? No?
Not really. I kind of treat it... I have the feeling about music that it's my hobby.
Okay.
It helps me hold it very lightly. You don't try and make money off your hobby. You don't try and impress your hobby on other people. You don't try and make them enjoy what you like. I just let it be whatever it is, and if other people enjoy it and want me to do it more, then I'm all the more encouraged. But I'm not like... I don't hold very... viscerally to this idea because it's as changing as my own feelings about music. So, yeah.
So it's so when you write a song, you just what goes in your head at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's usually prompted by an observation or an intense feeling at the time.
So you kind of still give a message, right?
Yeah, I suppose, but like something that
but it's not in a preachy, conscious way.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to us, so I'm not going to tell you what I think. No one really wants to know the opinions of a 26-year-old penniless art director / musician. I don't think they do anyway. So, I'm not going to tell people what to think. I'm going to express my ideas, and I think I've only got ideas about other people's ideas, and that's, I think, what we've all got, is I say something, and then you go, oh, okay, and then you adopt it, and then we just continue in that manner, and I think that's what making art is. I've got this idea, and then somebody else will take it from there. But what you just said about quality, not quantity, in film is audiences, I think, know when something's happening in a film and it's a packer because it doesn't further the plot. We're watching it when we're thinking, that was an interesting scene, but we've neither moved forwards nor backwards from the plot. And those packers, where it's like 25 episodes long, there's a whole lot of things that at the end of it, that scene or that packer was not about anything. It was just sort of a bit.
Yeah, they are fillers. They have to fill in because they have to deliver 25 episodes.
Exactly, and I think that's a massive mistake, and that's where you start losing interest.
I think that one thing I've noticed recently that it is a successful way of creating content, and this is in Handmaid's Tale, and I've seen it in a few others as well, but we spend half or three quarters of an episode following one person, and then we change to somebody else completely. Almost unconnected, though we know their connection by that point. And the following episode is carrying on with that new person. So what we're doing is, rather than doing this, which is a normal method of making film, is to go, this scene's about that person, that scene's about that person, and slowly we connect the two of them together. This is full episodes. Mm-hmm. And we learn about the point of view of, or that situation from that point of view, or that what that person's doing at that time. And you go, okay, shit, we can have two extra episodes in a 6 or 8 episode season, because you are investing fully in exploring that character's life,
yeah.
You know, which helps us invest more. And especially something like Handmaid's Tale, holy fucking shit. it is horrifically painful to watch, but wonderfully made at the same time. We want that. We want to take a breath and go, where someone else, I don't know if anyone's seen it, but
which one?
Handmaid's Tale. No. Elizabeth Moss.
I've read the book, but I haven't watched the series.
Oh man, I should have read the book first. It's post-apocalyptic.
I know which one.
It's alternative future, potentially under Trump. It's just very I don't know, alternative
possibilities. After he pushed the red button on his desk.
It goes the complete reverse of what we're talking about in terms of society progressing, is what it does.
It's a feminist worst nightmare.
Yeah, I watch it with my fiance, and she finds it horrifically hard. Mm. So she's the one that created Awkward Love, you know, opportunities for women. And you watch this thing, and you're like, holy shit. And it's painful to watch, but it's also invigorating, because you go, not on my watch.
Yeah.
Yes, anyway, that was a little rant.
I love that that phrase, point of view. You know, like this idea that we've got our little place, like our little, like, I was talking to someone about it the other day, this, like, concept that somebody has written heaps about, which I should go and research, but this idea that we all have, like, our mountain, our maunga, that we, like, stand on top of, and from that we have this, like, view that we can look out at, and this idea that, like, even, for instance, all of us in this room and all the people that are listening, we've all got, like, our maunga that are next to each other, but what we see is completely different. So even though we're sharing the same conversation, the way we interpret that, you know, is there's like infinite amount of possibilities of what's going on in each of our brains, and like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
And I think you're so right about this idea with like storytelling as well, and storytelling and music as well. Like, everybody's going to experience it differently, and when we have the opportunity to listen to all different stories and all different get an experience of somebody else's point of view, that's a really cool thing.
Another show that popped in my mind while we were talking that I think achieves a lot in only 8 episodes, and 8 episodes, 20 minutes long each episode. So it's about Awkward Love, the size. It just dropped into Netflix on Saturday and was the end of this fucking world.
Oh, that keeps popping up on my Netflix. Yeah. Should I watch it?
I'm going to take my headphones off if you're going to do this.
Why? No, I'm not going to.
Okay.
It is.
Because I'm watching that when I get home.
Yeah. So I sat down on Saturday for lunch, and I switched the TV on, as I do, because you should eat and watch TV. It's very good for your health. I don't care. And I say, I always look for something short, like 20 minutes long, because it's about the time it takes me to have my lunch. And it was a late lunch, so it was 1:30 or something like that. And, at 3:20, I was still there watching the last episode of the show.
Brilliant.
It's such a great show. It's really, really good. So if you want something short and sweet, it's the length of a movie, of a longish movie. The actor is spot on. The storytelling, it's great.
It's British, isn't it?
It's British.
Channel 4.
And the journey these two characters have in this 8 episode is just amazing. The A to Z, it's just amazing. The cliffhanger is a bit but it still pays off to watch it. And I think it's good to have a cliffhanger, because I would love to see a bit more about them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another show to watch on Netflix.
There's some good English shows.
Oh, damn Netflix.
Peaky Blinders? Peaky Blinders?
No.
Have you watched Peaky Blinders?
Started it. Yeah.
But you weren't a fan?
Very hard.
You weren't a fan?
Was it tough? Go on.
Oh, no, I really enjoyed it, but I just need shows to just hook me like crazy in order to keep me there. I watched about four episodes.
I was there because of the art department.
Yeah, which is incredible.
Which is just...
It's beautifully shot. They've got some great scenes of people like... Where are they based? I don't know. Birmingham. Are they in Birmingham? In the 1920s. And there's just these beautiful shots of them walking down these beautiful, bricked streets. And what's his name? Cillian Murphy? The main actress. Like, I just dribble myself. His bone structure.
I binge watch The Crown. Which four are department as well?
I've seen The Crown for that. I was there for the
amazing job, right?
Yeah.
It's like, even though a lot of is CGI'd.
Mm.
I didn't know.
They can't really go in.
Like what?
The walls are CGI'd. Really? Buckingham Palace is mostly CGI. What? It's green screen, yeah.
Oh, because that's then. The reason why it's so watch good. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. But it's if you watch the making of, you see how much green screen there is in there. It's just blind.
You'd be surprised now.
Mind blowing how much they can throw in there and say it's real, but it's not. The church where she gets crowned, it's a different church.
Wait, she gets crowned?
Oh, damn! I spoiled it for you.
That's one of the fun things about it, is that it's like the story. Like, it's a narrative that's made up about, like... So
a real story.
Something that's so not made up.
And they're so cool.
Yeah.
I love the monarchy. Cool. I mean, I hate capitalism, but I do.
You love the monarch?
Of the queen.
Here for you, Jay and Caroline. We heard it first. Georgia loves the monarchy.
I do. I collect stuff.
Because Caroline and Jay don't really like the monarchy.
I do. And the other day I spent $10 that I'm a poor student, I don't have, on a Women's Weekly special edition magazine of the Queen. And it was so good because I got to refer to it today as I watched The Crown.
Why is that you collect?
I don't know. I just think it's so... Definitely not. It's only me and the whole family, and I'm, like, getting, like, a big, big collection of stuff.
Yeah, right.
So you're like a hoarder.
I think it's ironic, but also, I don't know, I just think they're kind of cute, and, like, they're, like, this family, and they're, like, really famous for nothing.
Like Kardashians.
Like, no, but the Kardashians.
But the Kardashians worked hard, though. Even though we don't like it, they worked really hard to get where they are. They were not, no one.
Hey, I just got a text from a listener.
Yeah, but.
Infuriates me so much.
No, I don't know, but they worked really hard to get there.
They're a business, yeah.
They're really a business.
Hey, the monarchy or the Kardashians?
No, the Kardashians.
Yeah.
The monarchy got it served there because they are lucky and related.
I just got a text from a listener. So Richard, I don't know. I don't know if he has any connection with the show.
No,
but just, you know, an anonymous Richard is wondering whether you are CGI'd.
Oh, I'm not real. Oh, it got me. Damn, well, I'm an hologram.
Absolutely. He's actually being played right now.
Yes.
By that dude that did Gollum.
Andy
Serkis. Oh. And he's doing a great job.
Even though I prefer to be what is Schmeagle? The bad guy of Star Wars?
Darth
Kylo Ren.
No, the new one.
I was a little bit reluctant to admit it. I've seen it because I wasn't very attentive during it.
I
thought I might get called out.
Best sleep of his life.
There is. I'm really bad with names. Adam Driver is Kylo Ren, but then there is the new.
Oh, Snoke.
Thank you. Snoke. And Snoke is played by Andy Serkis. No, Snoke is the new emperor. He took over. Yeah. Oops, spoiler alert. No, but they know. If they watch The Force Awakens, they know. So sorry. I'm spoiling a lot of things.
Well, might be CGI. Like, there's a... We can't disprove that we're not in a simulation. That's like,
yeah. Maybe we're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wasn't The Matrix one of the greatest movies?
Absolutely.
Of the Matrix end of the 90s? Yes. The Matrix one.
Yeah.
Because if you watch it now, it still works. And it still looks amazing. because they use this technology that's kind of, it was kind of old retro but modern, and it's still there, you know, the technology is still there. So the Wachowski siblings, I guess now, they keep changing.
Yeah,
I love them to bits.
Yeah?
Well, they were brothers, and then they were brother and sister, and now they're both sisters,
both
right?
Women, right? Yeah.
So I think siblings, awesome. I guess?
Yep. Sisters.
I think they were siblings the whole time.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah, over here we call anyone siblings.
The Wachowski sisters.
By brother and sister.
Oops. Maybe now they call themselves the Wachowskis. Just simple. Full stop.
So that includes their parents and...
Yeah. They did a great job with the first one.
Oh, yeah,
they got lost with the second and third.
But that's the thing that we were talking about earlier though, with, like, art and intention, right? Because, like, the first film is incredible and it has this amazing story. But then all the other ones are just about, what, making money and just trying to keep something going on for as long as you can.
Well, and sometimes it is about keeping it going because you've been asked to or you've been paid to.
Yeah.
And you never planned it.
No.
So now you've got to expand your world again.
And it's
like
hard.
Speed.
Like Speed? Or Fast and Furious?
It's got a boat.
How many did they do of that one?
I don't know, they're up to 8.
Why are you talking about the Fast and Furious? Because those movies just get better.
Do you think they get better?
That's the thing, is that the intention with that is that it's just like fast cars and sexy ladies. You know what I mean? So that's what you're buying into. So the intention, you can just keep doing that.
I'm here for the character studies. What are you talking about?
Apart from Hayley, who's a big fan of Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. I saw it was The Rock in Fast and Furious.
And Vin Diesel.
Ah, both they are in there.
Two bald guys.
I heard The Rock might be running for the 2020 American election.
He would be better than Trump, would he?
Yeah, probably.
But too bad that Schwarzenegger cannot run for president.
As long as when the aliens come and they say, take me to your leader, I'd much rather take them to The Rock than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But the aliens are already here. Have you read about that?
No.
We're gonna know about the alien on a tweet. You'll see.
It freaks me out.
It cannot keep it in, so it's not going to keep it in
for
much longer.
How has that guy still got a Twitter account? He's leading a
because
he
does
country.
Less... Because...
He's such a twat.
The thing, they leave him the Twitter account because he's not posting through the POTUS account. He still posts from the real Donald Trump. They took away the POTUS Twitter account.
I love that name, POTUS.
Yeah, so which is the president of the United States. And he tweets through the real Donald Trump. So he's not really tweeting in name of the government. He's tweeting... as him, as a person.
Well,
so
I'm like, fooled. I can't tell the difference at all.
Yeah, but they're like, you know, fool. Yeah. It's like they kind of, go for it. I hope this year gets impeached. But, oops.
Me too. Can we have another song?
Yeah, we can have another song. Well, damn.
Do you want me to sing a song or do you want a Cricket
Go
Farm
for it.
Song?
I would prefer the Cricket Farm, but I haven't heard you sing, so...
I'm pretty good.
I feel like, sing along.
Today
pick
I
one
was
you
singing
know.
A song.
Which
and
one?
Actually a Cricket Farm song, and then I heard my neighbors start
Which one?
Laughing.
The happiest that you have. The happiest?
The happiest that we have.
We have one about aliens as well.
aliens.
We have one about aliens. That one's sort of like, that one's a late night sort of falling asleep kind of song. I think the happiest we've got would be... Famous.
Number two.
Yes.
Okay, let's go and listen to Famous. And we'll be back very soon because our 90 minutes are almost gone.
And it's a short song.
It's a short song. So let's try and see. And see if I can play it.
We stay up all night to see the sunrise across the sea, by the fire, underneath the blanket on the beach. We lay side by side, it won't be long now till we're asleep. By the fire, underneath the blanket on the beach. Forget about the world when we're staring at the stars, like a million tiny eyes staring back at us.
Song is finished.
Yeah.
Oh, so perfectly timed, isn't it? I'm so good. But now I have to play. I'm so. Let me see if I can find my little violins here. Oh, yeah, there you go. I cannot end the show without my violins, right?
Oh no, it's really good.
It's the best part. No, it's not the best part. So let's close it because we don't really have much time. Like 1 minute and a half. To finish it. So
you wasted time by saying to finish it.
Yeah.
We got it.
Damn it. So don't cry. So thank you to Alien Joel from and now here comes a little bit more from the Cricket Farm. So go on cricketfarm.bandcamp.com to get their newest album and their oldest singles. And find them as well on Facebook, Cricket Farm, I guess. Yeah. Thank you, Emmett, once again.
Thank you.
And go and watch Awkward Love on TVNZ On Demand. And if you are outside of New Zealand, go on YouTube and just look for Awkward Love, A-U-C-K, word love. Georgia.
Kia ora.
Thank you so much.
It's always so much fun.
Yeah, let's try to do a couple more this year.
Yes, and shout out to Richard, the listener who texted in, not any Richard we know.
Yeah. Bye, Richard. Well, Richard will be back next week with another episode of Key Cards. And you can reach us through keycards1@gmail.com or go on our website, keycards.org.nz. Or if you're not listening to this show 5 minutes after it's on air, you can go on planetaudio.org.nz and you will be able to listen to the show. And I don't know. It's finished, I guess. So I have to...
What a great ending.
This one. Happy New Year to everybody. It's been a pleasure to host this first show. And don't forget to go out there and kick some arts. Good night. Bye. Shabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba